Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot-Bodied Awesome. Pow, pow, pow!
I'm Sir Nifty Delaney, so what?
Did you beep there? A little beep?
Yeah, I did. I just plugged the power into my laptop and it went bing bong.
Okay.
Quite a nice noise, weird. Actually. I've got a Camp. It's the new MacBook Camp. And it's programmed to make. I just find it more fun.
Yeah,
it's got when a lot of new email and stuff like
you get
that.
A new email, it goes, "Ooh,
oh, get you, oh, Mr. Popular."
Who is it this time? Yeah. All right. Before we go any further, a little bit of forward planning, because I think I messaged you earlier today. I think that Friday's episode needs to feature a thing that's on iPlayer at the minute called Garage People, which, if you're not a subscriber of the Turbo service that we've introduced recently, one of the things you get like a TV preview of what's coming up in the next few days, things that we recommend. And one of the things, I haven't actually watched this yet, you haven't watched this yet, but I recommended it solely because of the description. It's called Garage People. It's on iPlayer. You can watch it now. And I think we need to get it watched this week and talk about it on Friday, because the reaction from at least two of the Turbo subscribers has been positive. Matt Everett says, Garage People is without doubt the most TFTM show on TV. Surely a vision of the podcast in 15 to 20 years. This goes right at the top of my deep dive requests. And I'll just read the description of Garage People. It's a documentary, right, set in Russia. And it says, in the Russian Arctic, there is a phenomenon beyond ice fishing, matryoshkas, I don't know what that is, and vodka. It's the garage. Rows of tin sheds, inhospitable from the outside, where everything can be found except cars. They are the refuge of the Russian man. A few square meters to dream and escape the pressures of life. This is where illegal fish shops operate, where saints are carved, where booze is distilled, and where quails are bred. Now, we need to watch this. We need to investigate this further, don't we? Surely.
Yeah. Yeah, I started the first 5 minutes, and I tried to engage my son. I said, look at this, mate, Garage People. He went, what's that? I said, well, these men are basically living in, like, storage containers, and they get up to all sorts of cool stuff in them. He went, oh, right, okay. And then we started watching it, and then he went to me, Dad, I'm doing my homework. So I had to pause it.
Yeah.
He was doing his fucking maths homework. I said, never mind all that, mate. Never mind all those flipping numbers. How about this? There's a bunch of fellas fucking breeding fish in a fucking storage unit.
Fucking maths isn't going to get you anywhere in life. This is what you need to know about.
This is the fucking lifestyle you should be aspiring to, mate. And I tell you, you won't need maths to get there either. All you need is a bit of grit and imagination.
This is the university of life, pal. That's the only university you need to go to. Oh, man. Superb. People who say that, though. People who say they went to the university of life. Fucking hell. Fuck off. Jesus Christ.
Well, we all did, didn't we? I mean, to be fair.
Well, did we? Did we really?
It's not we've all lived
life's
life.
Life's a university.
We've all lived life, haven't we?
Yeah. But it's like saying I'm not clever enough to go to a proper university. So I went to the University of Life instead. Yeah, where's the campus? Yeah? Do you get a discount? Student discount?
In my mind.
Burton? Yeah. So, we'll endeavour to watch that in full. It's about 90 minutes long, I think. And it's on the iPlayer, Garage People. And I think we'll have a proper chat about it on Friday's episode. So there's that.
I've got a couple of things worth discussing. Just brief, really. One is I went to meet some friends earlier for lunch, and we parked mm-hmm. up near my old school, my old secondary school, and I got this rush of like nostalgia, because as we parked up on a sort of a mm-hmm. residential street near the school, I saw some people coming out of a side alley, right? And I just thought, these people were like older people. They were sort of middle-aged people, older than us, like they're grey-haired. Mm-hmm. They looked like they'd just retired. They were quite smart. They looked quite middle class. And they're coming out of an alley. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. You don't often see middle class, like people in their 60s or early 70s coming out of an alley, do you? Mm. I mean, who do you think you associate with, like kids, vagrants,
teenagers,
ruffians? Yeah. I thought, that's weird. And then I thought, I'm going to have a look. And I got closer. I thought, fucking hell, I remember that alley. And it was an alley. It's a broad alley. It does have bins in it, but it's very broad. It's quite smart for an alley. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's like really fancy. It's got bins and bits of rubbish, but it's quite wide.
Is it a gentrified alley, would you say?
A little bit, yeah. And I suddenly remembered, fucking hell. I said to my wife and kids, I used to use that alley all the fucking time. It was a fucking shortcut. And in fact, I've just remembered there's a network of alleys just like that round here that connect all of the fucking run round the back of all the residential streets. And we used to run, you know, you could go down and do stuff down them. Mm. You know, like, I suppose people smoked. I wasn't to smoke myself. Or drank, or just dicked around, or whatever. And then... Anyway, I just said, fuck it. I'm like, obviously the kids are like, stop going on about this alley. And I really wanted to go and have a look around it. Mm. And it just brought back so many memories. And I just sort of thought, it's a good canter, get in touch thing. I know this episode isn't a mailbag, but I just want to say it while it's on my mind. Alleys are great. Mm. What are the most formative alleys in your life? Because everyone had alleys that meant a lot to them or played a significant role in their life when they were a kid. And just get in touch. Tell us about your alley. We might even be able to pitch this to the BBC as Britain's favourite alley.
And we probably could with the countdown of the top 50.
The Great British Alley Off, right? Mm. Every single town in the UK has an alley that is commonly known as Dogshit Alley. And it's the alley where everyone takes their dogs to shit.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you don't have a dog, but you need to use Dogshit Alley, you avoid it. But sometimes you just, the only way you can get to where you're going, perhaps you're hiding from someone or you are just in a hurry and your only option is, fuck, we've got to go via Dogshit Alley.
Dogshit Alley, yeah.
And you've got to run the gauntlet down Dogshit Alley. And a lot of times as well, when you reach teenhood, the Dogshit Alley, you find yourself in dark after dark. Because you're out drinking and you have to get home. And for whatever reason, you think we're going to go down Dogshit Alley, but it's pitch black. And so you are just fucking walking in the dark, tiptoeing, hoping that you don't go into Dogshit.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of a subcategory of alleys. We've got gentrified alleys. We've got Dogshit alleys. Mm. Would you say pretty much all alleys are piss alleys?
Yeah, I think there's a capacity to piss in any alley. Yeah,
there's definitely. No alley in the UK, surely, that's free of piss, is there?
Even the gentrified ones get pissed in, I think.
I think the council, even in a posh area, would send people to go and, like, council operatives to piss in the alleys early in the morning.
Yeah, just to keep them ticking over.
Keep our alleys pissy.
Sometimes you get thrown a curveball and you'll see human shit in an alley.
Oh my God! I know an alley in Soho in the West End of London that's notorious for human shit. My mate, whose office backed into this alley, called it "Tramp Eggs." That's what he used to call
tramp
it.
Eggs.
He goes, "The tramps have been laying the eggs in the alley out of the back again."
Yeah.
In fact, my brother Cass used to. It was out the back of his office as well, separate office, but they both backed from separate sides into the same alley. He used to go and have his fag break in there.
In Trampshit Alley.
Well, people who work in Soho like their whole lives, have so many stories about seeing humans doing shit. I've never seen a human doing, not a stranger. You know, obviously I've seen my kids shit.
It's
we've all seen our kids shit, surely. But other than that, I can't. But in the wild, I mean, my mate, he recently moved, and he was walking. He said this really funny message going, "Yeah, I showed my son. I was trying to impress my son with a really good shortcut to M&S." That I'd worked out, right? Because they were in a new area. So he thought, I've really quickly established a fucking really good shortcut, and I'm going to make my son come on a walk with me to prove to him. So it was in the morning, and they were going to get some food from Marks and Spencer's. And he goes, come on, I'll show you the shortcut. So they go down the shortcut, right, which I think was of an... I don't know if it was an alley, but I assume it is because most shortcuts are. They see a woman, right, in the bushes doing a shit, a human shit.
A human woman doing a human shit.
Doing human shit, right?
Yeah.
And they've gone, oh, fucking hell. And his son's gone to him, fucking hell, Dad. What are you fucking taking me here for? He said, well, I didn't fucking know that there was going to be a woman doing a human shit, did I?
Didn't fucking book her.
It's not fucking part of this experience. The experience is the shortcut, right? And anyway, so they thought, oh, fucking hell, that's disgusting. Let's try and put it out of our head. So they get into an M&S. It's a massive one in a retail park, yeah? And they're wandering around. I don't know what they were getting. They get to the till, to the queue, right? Someone in front of them is buying just a copy of the Daily Mail, right?
Yeah.
So straight away, you know, my mates thought, who's this cunt buying the Daily Mail? Because you tend to think of Daily Mail readers as cunts, right? Yeah. And no, I don't suppose all of them are. But it's something that we would automatically think, decent people would think, right? And then but even more than that, he said, even more out of order, I thought, who's fucking come all the way to fucking M&S, a massive M&S in a retail park, and all they're here for is a fucking single copy of the Daily Mail? That's a waste of fucking time. And they're filling up the queue.
Yeah.
So he's sort of fuming about it. It's just him. The person turns around after she's paid. It's the woman who'd done the shit.
Whoa!
Yes.
Why is she buying the Daily Mail?
It was the shortcut shitter.
Why is she buying the Daily Mail? Initially, you'd think she needs a copy to wipe her arse with, but she's already done that, presumably, in order to get to the shop. Arse wiping is completed. Unless she's just sort of
holding
out. No,
but she might have not. She might have just found an old sort of KFC napkin. Like, you always find KFC napkins down. You know, what do you call the bit? The train tracks are up high, elevated. Yeah. They've got a fence. And then there's a sort of a slope with leaves and trees.
Are they called the sidings? I think they might be called the sidings. Yeah.
So in the sidings, there's always napkins, isn't there, from a chicken shop?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's where you'd go.
That's probably why she'd... If you need napkins from a chicken shop, and you're not near a chicken shop, go to any local sidings and you'll find some.
And you'll find
blowing around. And so maybe that's why she chose to shit there, because she knew there'd be plenty of napkins. But
it could be it.
But she might have only had one, and maybe it was like a messy shit that she'd done. And she's thinking, fucking hell. Oh, there's not enough napkins to handle this job. I think there's an M&S at the other end of this alley. I might go there and buy myself a copy of the Daily Mail.
Hey, here's a thought. What she might have done was, she might have used the KFC napkins to wipe her arse. That's completed. That's boxed off now. That's done. Mission accomplished.
But she's clean
conscience
arse.
Has got the better of her. She's thought, I need to pick this up and put it in a bin or something. What can I use to pick up some human shit? The Daily Mail. So she's gone to buy the Daily Mail. She's going to go back to the scene of the crime, if you like, pick up her shit, put it in a bin.
How much it costs? I haven't bought a physical copy of a newspaper in fucking years. How much they cost now? I bet they're about £2 or something, aren't they?
I think they're madly expensive, yeah, to read stuff that was on the internet the day before.
Yeah, exactly.
But
she's gone and invested in a copy to pick up a shitty napkin with.
You'd buy whatever the cheapest was, wouldn't you? Or you'd try and track down a free copy of the Metro. But perhaps she's done it to make a statement. She wanted to pick the shit up specifically with the Daily Mail.
There's a lot of strange things and a lot of questions that surround this story. But one of the biggest ones that people might be thinking about here that we have yet to address is M&S is the poshest... Well, it's up there with Waitrose as the poshest supermarket But in a way, it's posturing to make sense because it's not even actually a supermarket, is it? Right?
No.
I mean, to sum up its status on the high street, I go back to one of my all-time favourite tweets, which was on... I mean, you're more of a, like, you know, you're a... You're sort of like an elder of Twitter in a way. You're like the main people on there. So you'll have better opinion than me. But I, for me, my favourite ever day on Twitter was 2010 when, do you remember when there was a draw in the election between Cameron and Gordon Brown?
Yeah.
And it was a draw, wasn't it? And they didn't know what was going to happen. And they were waiting to see who would blink first. And in the end... David Cameron just fucking went, fuck this. And he got in the... That's the arrogance you get from public school. He just got in the fucking motor and drove to see the Queen. He thought, fuck it, someone's going to do it, I'm going to go. And he just went up there, fucking bowled in, and pitched it to her. And she was like, well, I haven't heard from the other cunt, so fuck it, all right.
Go for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Get stuck in, mate.
But it was so fucking funny, like, because it was like, the country was in limbo. There was no government for about 36 hours. There wasn't a government. Yeah. We were just in limbo. And everyone was going fucking bananas on Twitter, like arguing, panicking, freaking out. I was freaking out, but the stuff on there was so funny. And someone just wrote, David Cameron's the sort of cunt who does his big shop at M&S. And I thought, yeah, that fucking sums out. That sums up Cameron, but it also sums up M&S because you'd never do a big shop at M&S, would you?
Yeah.
A big shot like your weekly at M&S. Can you imagine? I mean, they don't even have everything, do they?
They've fucking improved, though. The one in Sunderland, they do sell. They don't just sell M&S brand stuff. They'll sell, like, McVitie's digestives and Hovis and all that sort of things now. So they've tried
but
to
But I still don't
think
it's well enough stocked in the... Like, your household sort of... Like, your cleaning items or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a supermarket, is it? Your M&S... M&S is weird because... You can buy some biscuits there, you can buy some fucking barbecue chicken, and you can buy a jumper
slippers.
And some pants as well.
Yeah,
and some slippers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
it's
that's
fucking
wrong.
Fun. I went into an M&S last week and I still get a buzz out of it because there is so much to explore.
There is.
But you don't do a main shop. And what going back to the shortcut shitter, I'm like, that's quite a low class thing to do, right? Broad daylight, like mid morning. We're talking like 10, 11, something like that. To be shitting on some sidings is not a good... It means that some of your life choices have been poor, right?
But I'm not going to judge you.
You're not
going to
judge.
You can get caught short. You can
have an
upset stomach. You need to go, you need to go. It's either that. You either shit in an alley or a bush or whatever, or you shit in your pants.
Shit your pants.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, because what I was going to say was it's quite a high-class supermarket for a public shitter to be in. But maybe because I'm making too many assumptions about the public shitter. Because I'm like, oh, I would have thought she'd be like, I don't know, like going to Aldi afterwards or like Iceland.
Like
I thought that was where the shitters hung out.
Well, it goes to show, doesn't it? Just goes to show. She might have been doing it for personal gratification reasons. You know,
she's done a shit, and then she's gone, I'll just go and pick up a ready-made Duc à l'Orange and some McVitie's and a copy of the Mail, and they do some delightful chocolate eclairs with real fresh cream in. And one of their famous bacon, lettuce and tomato sandwiches.
I'm feeling much more relieved. After having that shit, better out than in. I've got quite an appetite now. I think I'll go and stock up on my lunch.
And also, she felt so euphoric because you can get post-shit euphoria, can't you?
You've really been holding on.
So she was so pumped full of fucking endorphins, right?
The adrenaline.
That she's like, she was just going to go by Tesco Metro to pick up some spuds, right? And a packet of J-Cloths. But she was so fucking buzzing. She thought, fuck this. I'm going to M&S. I'm going to have an M&S and I'm just going to buy loads of fucking awesome stuff.
What, did she not just buy the Daily Mail? Is that all she
bought? Yeah, that was the thing. She just bought the Daily Mail.
That was the thing. There's a lot of questions about that.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
A mate of mine had a recent experience in a supermarket with a former footballer.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Bennett, who was the Sunderland captain
He was the one who turned up at your hour price.
That's right, yeah.
Fucking hell, he gets doesn't he?
Me pal was in Aldi the other day, just getting a couple of bits, and Gary Bennett was in front of him in the queue, and Bennett had pretty much a full trolley, and me pal only had a couple of things in a basket, and Bennett did not follow the Aldi code, where if someone behind you has only got a couple of things, you go, you go through, mate. You've only got a couple of things.
Fucking Bennett, because he thinks he's better than everyone else.
I'm not saying anything. I might come across Gary Bennett at some point.
Well, you did before. You've already had an altercation with him.
I've had a run-in with him, yeah.
Yeah.
25 years ago, yeah.
But he's the type not to forget. I never forget a fucking face. You're the cunt who pulled us up on that lacklustre performance 25 years ago.
Yeah. I think he's not someone to be messed with. It was good. Listening after coming back from the match yesterday where we'd won 2-1, and we listened to the phone-in, because Bennett does the phone-in on BBC Radio Newcastle, because he does the co-commentary of the Sunderland games, and somebody had rang in and said that our left-back, Denver Hume, has just signed a new contract after being out of contract over the summer. This fella said that Denver Hume's a better left-back than Dennis Churkin, who's our current left-back.
Mm.
And Bennett just went there, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he just let the fella just explain why he thought he was better. Why is that then? And he let this fella just explain the reasons that he had, which weren't good reasons. And then Bennett just went, well, you think he's a better defender, do you? And the fella was just, by this point, you could hear him visibly shrinking on air as he was trying to explain himself. And Bennett just went, so he explained why he thought he was a better defender. And Bennett just went, yeah. Just left it there. And they ended the call. It was fucking great.
That was like that time when Dave Bassett took me to task over Barcelona when they were in their imperious phase.
Yes.
And he was telling me he was telling me how they could be beaten if you went like long ball against them, because they wouldn't know how to handle it. Oh, fucking surprise, surprise. That's Dave Bassett's fucking idea. And I said, because he was sort of ranting at me. I think he must have thought, because this show we were doing, because I was there appearing on it with him, he understandably but mistakenly thought that I was some kind of fucking noted football thinker. And that my opinion counted for fucking anything, right? And it's like, look, mate, I'm here to be the cunt sort of thing. And so he's really fucking saying this. So I thinking, I don't fucking know, mate. How do I know how to beat Barcelona? Right? So I've just gone, like you do, yeah, maybe you're right. You know, in that polite way when you just sort of say, can you stop now? I'm just going to, what you say to a cabbie when a cabbie's like just fucking ranting on about some bullshit. You just go, maybe you're right, mate. And I go, so maybe you're right. And Bassett got right in my face. He went, I know I'm right. I was like, whoa. All right. Fucking hell.
This is a potential topic, isn't it? As a footballer, have I got right up in your grill? And why? none of these ones that you sometimes see on Twitter where people will say, like, have you had an unlikely encounter or a low-key encounter with a celebrity? Has a celebrity ever got right up in your grill? Have you ever felt threatened by a celebrity?
Well, personally? The best ever is when John Terry, it was the, like, you know, I don't like John Terry, I doubt you do. I doubt anyone likes John Terry other than Chelsea fans, right?
Yeah, maybe some of them don't.
But I have to admit, he went way up in my estimations when my brother pissed up, shouted at him, Terry, you wanker, and without any hesitation, fear, nervousness, almost like it was the most casual thing in the world, he just went palms out, went, come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just sort of like very simple, straight. It was like a transaction. Let's begin the fight.
Yeah, it starts here. Yeah,
let's begin the combat. Let the combat commence.
Yeah. supreme athlete in my late 20s.
I know, and my brother absolutely fucking dropped his. I think his bollocks came through his ass or out of his mouth, or one out of each.
One each. Yeah.
But what was funny was he started it. Terry, you wanker. Come on then. Oh, no, you're all right. I'm only mucking about. Superb.
Oh, man.
That's the benchmark. The benchmark is John Terry with my brother. But if you've got anything else, has Gary Bennett got in your grill? I would wager that if you live in the northeast of England, there's a fucking good 40% chance that at some point you would have had an altercation with Gary Bennett in the wild.
Quite possibly. Any celebrity that's got up in your grill, let us know, as well as your favourite alleys. And we'll cover them on a
great
alleys,
yeah, because we've done walls before, haven't we? And we had quite success with people walls. Just telling us about their walls.
We've got a video live stream coming up with bowls, your favourite
bowls. And someone's been in touch about a bowl, and I don't know if you saw someone emailed us his favourite bowl this morning, and it was actually quite upsetting. It's really upset me, and I actually had to tell my wife about it because she could see that I was bothered, and she was like,
"Are we allowed to share this with everybody? Is this turbo only for the video live stream?"
Well, I think we brought up the bowl thing, didn't we? Talk about the bowl on our normal show,
yeah.
And so you should know that if you want to come and do a show and tell with your bowl, which we will be doing, then you have to upgrade to turbo, because that's on the live streams that come free as part of our turbo tier, which you can upgrade to now on Patreon. But if not, I will give you a glimpse as to the quality of the entertainment.
Tell me it.
Hang on a sec, you're going to have to bear with me. Yeah, but anyway, while you're doing that,
I'll just remind everyone the email address to get in touch is contact@tftimemachine.com. That's contact@tftimemachine.com. I said that slowly so that you could write it down while I was saying it.
Okay. Here's the message, right? And on the one hand, I think maybe I shouldn't say this and condemn the bloke because it's his business. It's like, he's got in touch. He's a fan of the show. He's trying to support us by contributing content. And then I cut him off. But at the same time, that's a well-established dynamic on this show. In fact, I probably do it less than I used to. And I've been letting it slip. I've been going soft, right? Mm. Second of all, he sent this in. He told me. He knows it's going into a public domain. So here it fucking comes, right?
He hasn't said, keep me anonymous, or this is just between us, or anything like that.
He's fucking celebrating what he said. My missus could see that I was not myself. She said, what's the matter? I said, all right, I'm going to tell you. I've got an email and it's really upset me, right? Here we go. Luke Wildman. Email title, favourite bowl.
Yeah, good.
He sent a picture. Nice bowl. I don't know. Actually, I'm looking at it closely now. It's a plastic bowl. It's not dissimilar to a washing up bowl. But anyway, he's gone, I've had this bowl 15 years. Love it. Use it for everything. Yeah. Salads, pasta sauce, curry sauce, cake mix, adding hot water to a paddling pool. Didn't know that was a thing, but fine. Sounds like you're...
Well, yeah,
to offset it.
Top up the heat levels. Yeah, it's good. How big's the ball?
It's pretty big. I mean, I'm trying to get the scale. The angle of the photo makes it quite difficult to get scale, but there is in the background a bottle of red Smirnoff that he's using as a loose change depository. Yeah. So that's...
I found the picture. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah,
can you see that? So, I would say that's almost as big as a washing up bowl, isn't it? Because can you see it's plastic? Because there's frays.
I'm thinking about two-thirds of the size of a washing up bowl.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he goes, this is what I use it for, blah, blah, blah. Curry sauce, at this point, I'm thinking, fine, this is exactly the kind of bowl I was looking for when we asked people to tell us about their favourite bowls. Yeah, he uses it for everything, salads, pasta sauce, curry sauce, cake mix. Yeah, great, great, great. Then he hits me with this. It is also the family sick bowl. Oh, anyone feels sick, they take this to bed.
Jesus
Morning Christ. After, it's washed out and used for dinner. Mental, Luke. Yeah, you're fucking right, that's mental, Luke. That is serious. You know on this show we take mental health seriously. We don't bandy around like potentially offensive remarks about the state of people's mental health, and we try not to judge. Yeah. We take it seriously, both of us do. But that is fucking mentally ill, mate. I'm fucking telling you. You don't use a food bowl for puking in. It's just not on. It's disgusting. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about this all day.
There can't be enough washing out of that bowl after someone's puked in it to then ever use it again for food preparation or storage. Yeah. That's just...
Ask a doctor or a nurse, right? The amount that, the bacteria and germs in a fucking... In a portion of sick... Right.
Yeah.
A portion of human sick. That is nothing. That's not to be tried. Don't just give that a fucking wipe round with a with a J cloth and some fucking fairy liquid, mate.
An average portion of human sick contains 3 tablespoons of germs.
There you go. And they're resilient germs as well, aren't they? They're not like I'll swill it out. You know,
germs. There's not like a fucking...
Imagine if it was you puking it as well. I mean, it'd be worse if someone else had puked in it. But when you're puking into something and you're face down, you're really staring. You come to like, it's like you're looking into the belly of the beast. You're like staring at the base of this bowl, puking and doing all that retching where you stare at it for ages and you can't quite puke. All the bile's coming out, and then the next day, right? Potentially the next day. Your mum slaps it on the table with a fucking crisp salad in it. Lettuce, tomato, cucumber, right? Maybe a bit of sweet corn. There you go. Bit of salad. Give it a mix. Here's some French dressing on the side. Oh, God. Reminding me of the bile. I'm not eating salad out of a sick bowl. But there's another issue here as well. I don't think you should be sick in a bowl. In our house, if you go to bed and you're feeling sick, you get the bucket.
Yeah, bucket's the
best. You don't
get
a fucking bowl.
Yeah.
You get a bucket.
Yeah. This has got me thinking, because when I used to go to my Nana and Grandad's caravan when I was a kid, toilet block used to close at 11 p.m. Nobody would go off all the way to the toilet block if they needed to go to the toilet in the middle of the night. So there was a bucket, and you would piss in the bucket if you needed to.
Inside or outside the caravan?
Inside the caravan.
Right.
Near the kitchen area. And the bucket of piss would just stand there overnight and then it'll get swilled out in the next morning. I'm trying to think, was the bucket used for any other purpose?
But it's only a bucket. You're not going to eat out of a bucket, so it doesn't really...
No, exactly. There was no other hygiene-related issues. You used to sit on the bucket, turn the bucket upside down and sit on the bucket like Bielsa.
Like Bielsa, that's all right, though.
There used to be an illegal bingo game went on in the camping field every Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Until one of the fucking coppers that had a caravan on the site got it closed down, the cunt.
What's
and everyone would go with their buckets and sit on an upturned bucket and play bingo. But, I mean, that's all right. You can piss in a bucket, swill it out, then sit on.
There's no
on
problem because it's a bucket, and a bingo. Bucket's only being used for germ stuff. Like, I said that earlier, yeah. Actually. When I told my missus, she was like, yeah, that is really bad. And she agreed with me. She went, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be puking in bowls anyway. They're not really big enough because with a puke, you never know if you're going to do one portion or two or three portions. Mm. And once you go past one portion, the bowl could start overflowing, right?
Yeah.
So,
or you could easily spill it, couldn't you? When you're delirious from nausea.
I mean, one portion of human sick is about the size of an average cereal serving that you might have for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's it. I'd agree with that, yeah.
So, I said, oh, you know, you puke in a bucket, don't you? You puke in a fucking bucket because you know a bucket is only going to be used for other stuff around the house that's to do with cleaning. She went, I must admit... She went, I do feel a bit weird when someone's been sick in the bucket and then we use that same bucket to wash the floor with. And I went, why? I said,
no, it's only that's been, all right.
I said, we put bleach in the bucket with the water. I've done it today. I fucking love a good bleach up in the kitchen, right?
Yeah,
it's second only to sharking for me, right?
Mm.
Matter of fact, it's I shark the kitchen the first, then I fucking bleach it. I said, put bleach
shark up,
in
there. I've had a shark up this afternoon on the living room carpet.
Oh, no wonder you look so happy.
Everything just feels better. You know what I mean?
It's like doing a shit. You get post-shark euphoria.
I did.
The body
did,
is
really
filled
did.
With endorphins and dopamine.
And I went out, I dropped the kids off at their mum's, and then I came back, and as I came in, the living room light was still on. And I just saw the carpet, and you could tell it had been sharked. And I just thought,
"Yeah,
fucking lovely. Look at that. Tonight's going to be a good night."
You're talking to your carpet, all right? Yeah. You dirty slut. You've had a right good fucking sharking, haven't you? You fucking dirty carpet bastard.
Yeah.
I went. Except my shark went through you like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
No, I said to her, look. Well, I said, what are you worried about residual puke germs in the bucket going on the kitchen floor? I said, for a start, there's bleach in there, and bleach kills fucking everything. I said, second of all, the only fucker in this house who ever eats anything or licks off the floor is Nelson. I said, Nelson, if you're worried about Nelson licking residual puke germs off the fucking floor, I said, then, you know... This is the cunt who we saw eat a portion of his own fucking sick the other day off the decking.
I was going to say, I imagine he regularly has his tongue up his own arsehole. So.
Yeah, he's got his own fucking set of problems. And let me tell you, licking our residual puke germs off the kitchen floor is low down the fucking list, mate.
Way down. I'm prepared to bring this to an end now, if you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apart from what about football predictions?
Just going to come to that. Yeah, you got 4 points this weekend. I got 2 points results, but also got 2 points.
Oh, so
just extended your lead slightly.
This could be our best season ever.
You're on 27. I'm on 24 results, but it's only on 16. It's already looking like a two-horse race.
We haven't heard from that cunt for ages. I'm surprised he's still bloody submitting his guesses.
Well, he hasn't. It's just fucking auto-fucking submit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, but if he died, I mean, I don't want him to die. But if he did die, we'd have to get another robot. I mean, he automatically submits his predictions, but they still have to come from him.
Yeah, but if he dies, we'll just get another robot and just get set it to do the same predictions.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
We'll call it Result Spot 2.
You know, we were talking recently about Nelson or Oscar maybe dying one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know when a cat, it's not so relevant with dogs, but when a cat does die, and I'm not thinking about this in terms of Nelson, but there is always a thing, I'm thinking about results, what really, like, what's the respectable, is it moratorium, is that the word?
Might be, yeah, it depends what you're going to say.
Between one cat dying and you getting a new cat?
I'll get a new one. A week?
Fucking hell. What about for a fish?
Well, our cat Ziggy died.
Yeah.
And then a week later, we got Oscar the dog.
That's not as bad, because it's a different animal.
I would say that was our heart rule in our heads. when we made that decision, and a week was not long enough. It maybe should have been a month, because then perhaps we wouldn't have got Oscar.
You would have thought then, more clearly.
You know, you can't,
it's sort
you can't
of disrespectful to the memory, isn't it, of the previous cat, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. If you'd get a different species, it's probably all right a week.
Yeah, I think a dog's different. It's like the cat's dead. We could never replace Siggy. There'll never be a cat like Siggy, so we'll get a fucking dog instead. That's all right.
I guess so, yeah.
Anyway.
All right, that's it from this one. We'll be back. I think we're doing, if you're an IFS subscriber, we're going to do History Box Gulliver's Travels Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then we've got a bit more Sir Ralph Ramsey and, of course, Melchester coming up.
And if you're Turbo, there'll be some more music shows coming up.
Oh, yeah, we're loving doing them, aren't we?
Yeah.
So there you go. Thanks very much and goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.